Hello and welcome to The Future of Shopping, a new Vogue Business podcast that investigates what the new era of shopping will look like, presented by Worldpay. Fashion retail has reached a tipping point, facing into a future in which social commerce and the algorithm's influence are growing and people's values are changing. For the next 8 weeks, our editors will be diving into what the new era of shopping will look like. We will unpack what comes next for e-commerce, social commerce, and Web3, what will happen to malls and high streets, and how consumers will shop in the future. Hello and welcome to Vogue Business's The Future of Shopping. I'm your host, Maddie Schulz. Over the past 6 months, we've covered topics from why nobody knows where to shop anymore to if, when, and how brands should tap into fast-changing microtrends. It all boils down to a recurring discussion point, the impact of algorithmic recommendations on shopping and discoverability. So we decided to do a pulse check and surveyed Vogue and GQ readers to get a sense of how they navigate shopping today. In this episode, I'm joined by one Gen Z and one quote-unquote Zillennial to chat about how they navigate style and shopping in the age of social media algorithms. Tora Northman, 26, came up online, she joined Twitter age 11, and is now the social media manager at Heist Nobiety. Content creator Tiriro Makoni, 27, frequently goes viral for her analytical fashion deep dives. By day, she's a senior strategy manager for global startups at Amazon Web Services. They both shop well and shop often, and I'm so happy to have them here today. Thank you to both of you for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is exciting.
It feels like a lot of the fashion crowd, be it journalists or social media commentators, have recently lamented the algorithm, meaning algorithmic recommendations, because of the sameness they can generate both in our feeds and in our style. But when we surveyed consumers, we saw that Gen Z shoppers, at least, had pretty positive sentiment towards algorithmic recommendations when it comes to discovering and shopping for new pieces and trends. Tora, you've told me that your TikTok algorithm is too good. Could you talk a little bit about what you mean by this and how you find it helps you discover and shop?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've been on TikTok for years now, honestly, since it was still Musical.ly. So that also means that I've put a lot of love into my algorithm. And I do spend significant amount of time on TikTok, both through work and also just like in my personal life. So I think my algorithm has had enough research about me for the past couple of years to see what I like, what I might be interested in. And it literally is like everything from silly cat videos and conspiracy theories to super high fashion, deep dives. So, and it's a little bit of everything. But in terms of shopping, I feel like I'm no longer getting fed all of these like micro trends in the same way, just because that's not something that I've responded to in the past. Like I don't really engage that much. Like I see it, I make a mental note of it, mainly for like work purposes and just being aware. But in terms of my consumption as like a consumer, it's not really something I gravitate towards. It's just something that I like to just know that it's going on and be aware of and kind of keeping a pulse check on it, because I do feel like it comes and goes so quickly that also like learning about the algorithm has been really important for me and not being as influenced as I think a lot of people can be just because you see it so frequently on your feed.
I think the learning that about the algorithm point is interesting as well, because again, when we surveyed the readers that we did, millennials were the most aware of algorithms and their impact on what they see, and Gen Z were next. And I feel like a lot of Gen Zs that I've spoken to have almost hacked the algorithm or talk about it as if they've hacked the algorithm in a way, in that they've trained it to show them what they want to see. Tariro, do you feel you do this kind of as someone who bridges both generations? A, are you cognizant of the algorithm's impact? And B, do you find yourself kind of almost trying to dictate what it then shows you?
I'm hyper aware of the algorithm. I think that similar to Tora, because I'm watching what's happening, I also am trying to filter out what I don't want to see by not engaging. So I think I'm actually like far more attuned to like not engaging with things that I really don't want to ever see again than I am with things that I enjoy seeing. I think that's where more of the passive consumption comes in. But I definitely love to tailor my algorithm. I don't think it's perfect for me, though. And I think that's also maybe something that I constantly am thinking about in terms of like, I don't feel like this gets me. And then it's almost like a pat on my back. Like, well, I'm just so unique and interesting that like, it can't categorize me. But then that's also like a crazy thought. I think it's also just because I'll like also leverage it as like Google and like look up random things throughout the course of a week. And so there's a bit of soup happening. Whereas my little sister, she's a true Gen Z, she's 20, and her algorithm is like locked in. So I think there might be some of that like boomer adjacent stuff happening for me where I'm like, oh, the technology is evolving. Can't keep up.
I wonder, do you feel as though that soup, as you called it, is that helpful for discoverability? Does that help you find new things, especially in terms of fashion and beauty and whatnot, that you find useful? Or is it more that it's a soup and that you find things that you don't want in there and you don't want to engage with?
I think it's both. I think I've seen some very like odd things pop up. There's like something adjacent to Saran Wrap skin that I saw recently that was like, why am I being fed this content? But I think more than anything, from a soup versus non-soup perspective, I would much prefer for my soup to taste good. So like, I would rather be more tailored and specific with my algorithm. But I also do appreciate non-algorithmic discovery. And I know that's something we'll touch on later. But when I find things on the algorithm, I do tend to be a little bit more suspicious, even if I'm passively consuming it, and I will end up buying it. So I appreciate like a mix and a blend of content.
Something that stands out to me in both of your style is that it's interesting in that it doesn't feel overly derived from social media trends. Do you guys find that that's sort of an active choice? I know, Tori, you touched on this when you spoke about purposefully avoiding micro trends. So how do you navigate the internet as a source of inspiration?
There are a lot of things that I objectively like. Like, I see it on my feed and I think people look really good in it and I can appreciate it for what it is. I just know that it wouldn't look great on me. Even just in like the past year, there are so many things that I really resonate with. Like, bloatcore I think is great. Like, I play football and I love fashion. So like, in theory, that would make a lot of sense. And then when I try it on, I just feel like sometimes it just looks so wrong. You know, when you have stuff at home and you're kind of like, oh, this is kind of similar to something that I've seen that I like or a trend that I've picked up on. I can still emulate some elements of this that I enjoy, but I don't have to go like dive headfirst and just like copy paste what I'm seeing on TikTok. It's sometimes hard to avoid because I feel like some people just look so, so good, especially when it comes to certain beauty trends and hairstyles. But I feel like trial and error, I just know for a fact that in the past it just hasn't really worked out for me. So I can take everything with a pinch of salt and just realize that maybe not everything is for me, but I can appreciate it from an outside perspective.
Tamira, what are your thoughts?
I love that take. I think I'm quite similar insofar as like algorithmic like trends and the packaging of it. I feel like we're using a random word generator to name things at this point. And it's like, I love that for what it means culturally. Like, I am chips in on like cultural significance of things. I think it's so fun and cheeky to be silly and goofy. Like, as a generation, we also deserve that. But I think when it comes to my consumption personally, I have a problem with being able to categorize myself in cheeky, fun way, being like, oh, and today I'm Polly Pocket adjacent coastal grandmother, and tomorrow I'm going to be Web3 Loewe Minecraft. Like, that's fun when you're talking on Twitter, but like, I'm not buying in that way. I'm buying in relation to like my core needs and my values and the things that make me happy, whether that's like a mohair sweater because I like to feel cozy, or a blazer because unfortunately I was like that child who like cried to wear blazers at 8. Like, I think that there's like the significance there for me that's like, I know what I like. And even though those things over time will shift and evolve based off of art that I'm looking at or culture that I'm consuming, like, that should be driven by my own understanding of my needs and my values, not necessarily based off of what I perceive to look really good on someone else who's going through hopefully a similar value derivation system internally.
On both of your sides, it sounds like what enables you to engage with and utilize algorithms in a positive way is the fact that you do have this baseline sense of personal style, of values with how you shop. Do you feel like that kind of makes navigating the algorithm and social media a more positive experience in terms of shopping and discovery because you do have that baseline expectation for what you want to dress like and what you want to buy?
One of the things that I've noticed recently is that a lot of people are very quick to have negative opinions on these like massive trends. Like, I think the Adidas Samba is a really good example. A lot of fashion people have had tons of opinions saying that it got written so quickly, like not everyone's wearing it, it's like the most basic shoe ever. But I think what you have to remember is that not everyone is into fashion in the same way that we are. Like, it's such a small and actually quite niche group that are, you know, keeping up with fashion trends, knowing what's on the runway and whatnot. Most people just want something that's sort of cool, easily accessible, and just looks pretty good. And I think we forget that a lot of the time. So that's also something that I've been thinking a lot more about when using TikTok specifically, just being careful of having like a negative response immediately when I see people following trends, just because I think I've been working in fashion for what, like 7 years now, and the knowledge and the referencing that I have, most people don't even come close. I'm like really tooting my own horn there, but you know what I mean? Like, some people just don't even care. Like, they've just seen it on a couple of their favorite influencers, and that's enough to make a purchase because it just looks pretty good.
Yeah, I love what you said because I completely agree. I think that algorithms are effectively a microcosm. And when we think about like in-group and out-group dynamics, as you would observe normal people on the sidewalk, we do tend to cluster around similar microcosms or like interests or values, etc. However, when you're observing on the street, you get to see everyone's algorithm at once. So like you're watching different types of interests and values all coinciding in terms of like walking down Broadway. But when you're on your own algorithm, you have just one. So in your mind, you feel like you're in this isolated silo. Everyone gets it. Everyone knows. And then you go outside and you're like, well, actually, no one is wearing the Sandy Lang super long bow that everyone in December had a photo of, but I never saw walking outside on the street. And so I think that there's that conversation that should be had. And I think it's actually really similar. And I'm curious, even Maddie, your perspective working, or both of you, since you're both in media, those like 2006 Vogue articles that would be like, what to wear to the office. And I'd like go to my aunts who like worked in finance. And I'd be like, hey, like you should consider wearing this. And they'd be like, I could never wear 6-inch heels and a mini skirt with a pinstripe into the office. Like I'm wearing a boring pantsuit. And so I think for me, like at a very young age, I was attuned to the fact that like what we're consuming from a fashion perspective is not necessarily what translates for your everyday life. And that there's a bridge or feeling that you can create within what's relevant for you, but you don't necessarily need to say like copy paste because this editor was wearing this thing for this event. I'm going to wear the same thing to go to Trader Joe's. Like it doesn't always work like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if we're having that conversation, especially with younger generations. And I would love that to happen because I think that's where we're maybe missing the mark a little bit.
Yeah, I think your point about seeing everyone's algorithm in real life on the streets is a great one because, as you say, you get so caught up in these bubbles of sameness sometimes, or at least similarity in your feed, across your feeds. And Tariru, this actually goes back to another point I wanted to chat with you about, which you've explained to me before, is this concept of an algorithmic thread that users create when browsing on socials. And I think that is in part why it does feel like we're seeing the same thing over and over, because it's not just in a TikTok feed or in an Instagram feed, but we do kind of cultivate similar content across our feeds. Could you walk us through that?
I think maybe even to just take one step back, because I know there's the infographic. I would love to add YouTube to that as the last step, but we'll get there. The ways in which we think about consumption now that we're online is maybe a little bit different than when we were like fully shopping in stores and maybe seeing things in a magazine and finding it at a department store. And so now the way that we're thinking through algorithms is like you're served something through this like hyper specific feed on your TikTok, and then you'll go to an Instagram because that's where like you see the photos of that thing that you saw in motion on TikTok, and you'll say like, I want to search six creators who I know are wearing that same Alaia mesh ballet flat and see how they're styling it. And then you'll go from there and you'll say, oh, like now I want to go specifically to Pinterest because like now I see how they've lived in it in terms of the lifestyle. I've seen it in a get ready with me. I want to see like a cluster and a mass wave of that thing across different lifestyles and subgroups, et cetera. So Pinterest is great for that. And then the last step that I'll add is YouTube, when you're like, really like, okay, I'm ready to buy this. Like I want an in-depth review. Like how's the construction? Like, is this falling apart in 2 weeks? What does it look like super up close? And what are the comments saying about that thing? And I think in each of those steps, what you're picking up on is different clusters of like identity, as well as like the belonging of that within each subgroup that you're participating in. So like you have your own construction mentally or psychologically of what that TikTok creator is like and who she hangs out with and the interests that she has. And then you go into Instagram, and which I think is maybe the most aspirational type of like reference that we have with people, or maybe even parasocial. You go into Instagram and you're like, okay, like now I'm looking at this from an aspirational perspective. How do these girls style it? And then go to Pinterest for, again, like that like mass scale to make sure that like the orientation of that item fits across the things that you care the most about. And so what that creates is this thread across social media where you feel like you're, you know, subconsciously, you're driving each of these actions, but you might not be consciously aware that that's actually what you're doing. And so when you zoom out, you're like, oh, I'm seeing the Alaia mesh ballet flat everywhere. I have to own this. This is so crazy. But you've like actually been intentionally curating that exact same pattern. And you're doing that across like everything, like down to recipes, trips, travel, airlines. Like we don't recognize like how far reaching and broad this form of consumption is. But I really do believe that it's the real root cause of how we see the cross-pollination across apps and algorithms and identity construction formation.
Just to sort of almost get a break from that sort of repetitiveness, from that algorithmic cultivation that we all do, I'd love to hear a little bit from both of you about how you sort of strike that balance. We're all, I think it's safe to say, chronically online, but when looking for inspiration, where do you turn to? Is it mainly social media? Do you augment that with sort of IRL stores, the streets, whatever it may be?
I honestly think for me that it is mainly social media, just because I'm on it literally all the time, like way more than I would like to admit. But then instead of necessarily getting it from TikTok or certain creators, I talk a lot to friends and just people in my space, specifically my mom. We have loads of discussions about fashion. We send each other photos. Like she'll go into a store and I'm like, Mom, why are you WhatsApping me like 15 times in a row? And it's just her in the changing room with like all of these different outfits. So I feel like that part I really enjoy, and actually like talking to other people about their own style and how they're interpreting certain items. And then I think sometimes I like really hyperfixate on certain creators that come up on my For You page. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to watch 15 of their videos in the next 15 minutes. And then I leave that and I'm like discombobulated because I don't know what to think. I don't have my own opinion anymore. So I think sometimes when that happens, then I'm like, okay, let me put my phone down and like go for a little walk. Like I put on a really shitty outfit. Like not everything needs to look good, and just like humble myself a little bit. Cause I feel like sometimes with social media, I think everyone needs to just always look really snatched, especially on Instagram. Like you mentioned, like it is this like really polished platform where just everyone looks good and it looks pretty effortless. But it's obviously not like a lot of content creation and behind the scenes goes into all of these photos, which I've seen so many times in real life, but my head still can't really wrap itself around that. And it's the same with TikTok and, you know, the filters and all of that. Like, everyone just looks really good. And I think my brain still struggles to comprehend that, even though I have that knowledge. So I think sometimes I'm just like, let me chat to someone who's not as maybe online as I am. Let me flip through a magazine that's old, or like a book, or let me watch an old episode of Sex and the City. I don't know. Like, it comes from anywhere. Or I'm just like walking down the street and I see some like chic old woman with a dog and I'm like, oh, that needs to be me. So I think like having a healthy relationship with that as well has helped me not take everything from social media. But I still say like that's definitely where the bulk of my inspiration comes from.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you brought up conversations with friends, because I know personally, I very rarely do I make a purchase without consulting at least one friend or my mom. I'm the same. But then I think in a lot of these conversations, we forget that, even though I guess that ties back into curating algorithms, because we send our friends TikToks, we send them Instagrams. But I think that conversational element is important and goes back to Tururu's point about seeing other people's algorithms on the street. You also get an insight into what they're seeing oftentimes online by having those conversations.
Yeah, and sometimes you just need someone to talk you out of it as well. Like if it's a pretty crazy purchase, something really expensive that you've seen a lot of people wear, it's very easy to feel like you need to own that. But sometimes you just need someone else to say, when are you actually going to wear that?
Right.
Which is helpful.
Absolutely.
Essential, actually. I think that for me, that's my little sister. She's so brutal. And I love that. Like someone who fully understands your taste. And taste construction formation fascinates me. I feel like it's very nature versus nurture. Obviously, like nurturing can be like your family, but I also think that's, in my mind, that's more so like the algorithm and your friends and like your interests that you've cultivated over a lifetime. But like the nature bit is like the people that like have been there from the jump. It's your mom, your dad, your cousin, your sister, your very, very closest best friend. And so I feel like I rely on that a lot, where honestly, sometimes you'll disagree with me and that makes me double down. But it like is important for me to have had someone who truly knows me and knows, like, I know you tend to be influenced by these things. Like, did you see this person wearing this? Is this why? And then I can be like, no, like, trust me, this is about to eat. You don't understand what I'm about to do with this. So then it's like, okay, great. I've been like incensed and I'm absolutely going to like do the reckless thing and buy this thing.
Both of you, I feel like it sounds like, yes, a lot of the inspiration and discovery does come from online. But again, it's that balance of your own personal style, of your friends and family.
I feel like from an inspiration discovery perspective, I actually think I do the reverse, where I tend to like, I am so quickly influenced in real life. It is scary and shocking. Take me to a store. The second I feel that gut feeling of like I need to own, it's like I'm being hypnotized. I have to have it. I see someone on the street who I think is so chic, cool, and interesting. Like, I need to know the construction of like, oh my gosh, like her pant was tailored in this way. Do you see the wash of her denim in that way? The shape of her shoe, the almond toe, like it helped with like the structure of the pant, and the top is balanced in this way, and the silk organza of it all. Like there's just so much to analyze and unpack, because you're also seeing that person in motion and you're getting an idea of like what subgroups they might prescribe to. But it's also like fun in like a campy narrative construction way as well, where like you can like invent a reality for that person that could fully not be true, because you can't like then go into their profile and confirm or deny what you think to exist for them. So I will do that first. And then I'll like put it all together in my head. And I'm like, okay, like these are the things that like I can't stop thinking about. And then I'll go on to my social media and actively try and find like confirmation that my hunches were either correct or not correct, which actually I might be answering the soupiness of my algorithm question before. And then from there, I'll be like, okay, well, like these are all of the people that are super obsessed with a colorless blazer. How do I feel I fit into this group or not fit into this group? And if I'm going to be honest, I probably shouldn't say this, but I feel like it's cringe. If I'm getting cringe vibes, like these are not my people, the easiest way to de-influence me. But like, had I just seen it on two women in real life, I would have been feral and I probably would already own that item. So the algorithm probably does reverse. I probably buy less because of the fact checking.
Yeah, I love that actually. I was also going to add that sometimes I literally get inspired by my own wardrobe, like old things that I haven't dug out for a while. Sometimes I'm folding my t-shirts and I remember that, oh, I have this cool piece that I've never worn for a couple of years at least. Because I think now when I'm looking for even inspiration, brands have such hyper-specific aesthetics that it's quite hard to sometimes like emulate that style unless you buy like a full look. And I think with a lot of influencers and content creators, they're obviously a lot of the times dressed by a brand. So they're in head to toe Miu Miu. And obviously it looks great because it's an off the runway look. But going on the website for me, I don't have that kind of money. So I'm not going to be able to buy, you know, a 900-pound polo shirt with a little Miu Miu logo. As much as I would love to, I can kind of emulate that with maybe things that I own or take little bits and bobs from here and there. But just like, I feel like not going for the full look all the time or like putting yourself into these small aesthetics that are really hyper-specific has helped me a lot. Because even like, you know, I'm also not able to commit fully to like a certain aesthetic. You know, like now with like Brenda Hashtag, for example, on TikTok, she only owns like black and white clothing. And there's this whole community of people that follow her and also like have emulated her style. And I'm like, good for you guys, but I could do it for like a week and then I would change my mind. So I think that's also part of it where it's like sometimes it's very easy to see someone that you like or a brand and you kind of change everything about yourself and your style to kind of emulate a certain aesthetic. But sometimes you need to take a step back and kind of just reflect and look at what you have because there's so many nice things out there. And I think that's also coming back with a lot of the vintage shopping and the thrifting. People want to find more unique items. So I think that sentiment is shared a lot among Gen Z and like TikTok users.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's a perfect note to end on. Tora, Tariro, it's been so wonderful chatting with you both. I wish we had longer. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Maddie. And thanks, Tora. This is such a good conversation. I'm so grateful.
Yeah, I loved it. I feel like we could have gone all day.
If you are enjoying what you are hearing on this podcast and want to gain access to the full Future of Shopping series, you might like to become a Vogue Business member. It's your ticket to a global perspective on fashion and beauty, delivering exclusive insights that will give you the edge in this competitive, dynamic industry. Visit VogueBusiness.com today and use the code PODCAST20 to save 20% on the usual membership rate. That's VogueBusiness.com, promo code PODCAST20. This has been Vogue Business's Future of Shopping podcast, presented by Worldpay. Thanks for listening.